Just a few announcements this morning. I'd like to draw your attention to. The first is next Saturday is the churchwide picnic. We hope you'll all be able to join in the festivities. It is at noontime in Borough Home Park, and we hope to see you there. Also, our Vacation Bible School will be beginning in July, the 25th through the 27th. That's a Tuesday through Thursday at 6 p.m. Volunteers are still needed. Desiree's over here, and she's more than happy to see you after services this morning to volunteer. Finally, the last announcement is this is the last Sunday that we will be in the sanctuary this summer. We'll be moving over to the chapel beginning next Sunday, and we'll be worshiping there through Labor Day. Our Old Testament lesson is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Hear the word of God. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning of the sixth day. Our epistle lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. Again, listen to what God has to say for us through his holy word. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Mend your ways. Heed my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you." The word of the Lord.
Just one correction to point out. The church picnic is not on the 18th as it is listed, but that should be June the 10th. So actually it's next Saturday, June the 10th from 12 to 5. Our gospel reading this morning will come from Matthew's gospel. We'll be reading from the 28th chapter of Matthew's gospel, verses 16 through 20. So let us listen to God's word for us. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. It is good. It is good. It is good. That's what we are told at the beginning of the great creation poem in the book of Genesis, as God undertakes the creation of the world. It is a familiar story to many of us, a wonderful story, a beautiful story, the story of creation. Each day God creates, and every day that God creates, what God creates is good. The night, the day, the sun, the moon, the earth, the sea, all the creeping things, all the living things, everything is good. And by the time we get to the sixth day, when human beings are created, the action sort of slows down and pans in on these human creatures that God creates. Male and female, he created them. And not only are we told that human beings are good, but we are told that human beings are blessed. They are blessed to be the caretakers and the stewards of all creation. That's what the Hebrew word translated as dominion means. It means the husband, it means the shepherd, it means to take care of God's good creation. But the text tells us that everything was good. All that God created was good. And that's important to remember. It's important to remember before there was evil, before there was suffering, before there was violence, before there was brokenness and sin, there was nothing but goodness, including all of us human beings, especially all of us human beings. We were created good. Of course, that's easy to lose sight of today. It's easy to lose sight of because we know the mess that we have made out of God's creation. We know the mess that we often make of what it means to be a human being. We know the mess that we often make of our individual lives. Sometimes it's easy to look around and just kind of shake our heads and just kind of give up on what we see all around us, what we know of human behavior, what we sometimes know of our own behavior. But we are reminded that when God sees us, despite all of our brokenness, despite all of our shortcomings, despite the messiness of our individual lives, despite the messiness of our collective lives, we know that when God sees us, what God sees is not just the messiness. God doesn't just see all the ways that we fall short of God's glory, but when God sees us, God sees our potential. God sees our potential for good, because that's how God created us. God created us as good. Everything was good. It was all good. Have you ever noticed sometimes the way a parent will speak about a child? I was watching the news not too long ago. A young man did something terrible. He was arrested, and I've seen this many, many times, and what the person may have done is something just awful. They may have been involved in an awful act of inhumanity, and often an awful act of uncaring, and yet they'll talk to the parent, and the parent will talk of them not in terms of the awful thing that they have done, but of the good that they know their child is capable of. And that's true for all of us too. We were created good. And that's what God sees in all of us. That's what God sees in you, the potential for good. Psalm 8 that we use this morning for our call to worship is also a creation story. It is a creation psalm. It's a psalm that celebrates the majesty of the Creator God, the God who created everything, the God who created the sun, the God who created the moon, the stars, the God who created everything. And yet we are told at the very heart of the psalm, what is posed to the Lord is a question. A question about you and a question about me, a question about human beings. The psalmist asks, when you consider everything, when we consider everything that God has created, who are we human beings that God is even mindful of us? Who are we that God even cares about what we do and about what happens to us? Have you ever pondered that? We've all seen, I'm sure, the pictures of interstellar space, the billions and billions of stars and galaxies, so many that it's incomprehensible, all the planets and all the stars that are out there in the universe, everything that God has made, everything that God has created. Even in our own solar system, we've seen those pictures of the Earth in comparison to the sun, and the Earth is just this little bitty dot compared to the sun. And we might say to ourselves, why would God even be concerned with this little speck of a planet? Not to mention to be concerned and to care for us human beings. Of course, some people have ready answers for why God would be concerned. Their answer would be is that God is not concerned with us. They would say God is not concerned with us because God does not care. God doesn't care, they say, because there is no God, at least not a personal God. Or if there is a God, that God is like a deist God, a faraway God who may have created the world but is no longer involved in any serious way with the world, no longer involved in you, with you and me. But we're reminded this morning that God is concerned with us. We're reminded that God does care about us. God cares about you, and God cares about me. God cares about this whole world. God cares because God is the creator God who has created everything, and not only created everything, but God has created everything good. And God especially cares about you and about me, all of us human beings. God cares about us because God created us in God's image. We were created in the image of God. We were created to look like God. That was part of the goodness that we were created to be, part of the goodness that we were created for, to look like God, to be made in the image of God. And that's what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 8, that we human beings were created just a little bit below God. We were created to be crowned with all glory and honor. We were created just a little below God. I know in some of our Bibles that actually the English reading might say that we were created just a little bit below the angels, but the actual Hebrew indicates that we were created just a little below God. But we are created to look like God, to be in the image of God. Today is Trinity Sunday. And this is a Sunday when we celebrate the fact that the God we worship is the triune God, the one personal God that we come to know as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Please don't ask me to explain that, because I can't. I can't explain how three becomes one. I can't explain how one becomes three. In fact, I've never preached on the Trinity before. Every time the Trinity Sunday rolls around, I usually take a pass in trying to explain the Trinity because it's often something that is not explainable. A pastor friend of mine was telling us this week that when she first came into the presbytery and was asked to read the statement of faith, her statement of faith before the presbytery, one of the questions that she received from someone on the presbytery floor was for her to explain the Trinity. And she noted she almost started crying right then and there because she had no way of trying to explain the Trinity. Something that cannot be explained. Several years ago when I was in seminary, I remember me and another seminarian was trying to, we were talking about the Trinity in front of a Sunday school class that we were teaching, and we were both had read some of the Cappadocian fathers and all of the Greek categories that they were using to talk about the Trinity. We were talking about, you know, equal substance and things like homoenousia and all these fancy Greek words, and it didn't go over well. No one knew what we were talking about. We didn't even know what we were talking about. And no one can explain the Trinity. Even the Cappadocian fathers couldn't really explain the Trinity, partly because they forgot the biblical tradition itself, and they replaced the biblical tradition with Greek categories. But had they stayed a little bit more attuned to the biblical tradition, they would have at least, even if they could not explain it, they would have at least been able to frame it a little bit better, because the Bible talks often in Trinitarian language. Indeed, the Bible often talks about God, a transcendent God, a God that is above us, a God that we cannot manipulate, a God that we cannot control, a God who is God up in heaven, a God who is distant from us, a God who is transcendent and above us. But the Bible also talks about this God who comes close to us. A God who comes close to us in so many ways. This one transcendent God who comes close to us. We are told that God comes close to us in God's Word. We are told that God comes close to us, or God came close to his people in the Torah. Wherever two or three were gathered together reading the Torah, we were told that God was in the midst. God came close to the people in the temple. God was in the temple in Jerusalem. The one holy, transcendent God was close to his people. And then, of course, the New Testament tells us that God comes close to us, this one holy, transcendent God comes close to us in a Son, his only begotten Son. And so the Bible often tells us that this God that we come to know, this God that we worship, is the God that we come to know, the God that we worship as Father and Son, Holy Spirit. We can't really explain that or how that is, but the Trinity is not a puzzle that we are called to figure out. But the Trinity is a mystery, a deep mystery within God's own self. We can say a lot about the Trinity, or at least we can say a lot about what it isn't, and that's what many of our confessions and many of the church fathers sought to do. They didn't seek so much to explain what the Trinity was, but to say what it wasn't and to put a fence around what it was not. But even though we cannot explain the great mystery that is God, the thing we need to remember this morning, and the thing I would hope you to remember, is that at the very heart of who God is a relationship. a relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, a relationship of love, of overflowing love that created everything, that created all that we see, that created all the earth, that created the sun and the moon and the stars, a overflowing relationship of love, an overflowing community of love that has created all of us. And we are reminded this morning that you and I were created to be in the image of that community of overflowing love. Communion, connectedness, overflowing love. It tells us something about God, God's own heart. It tells us something about who God is in God's self. And you and I are created, we're made in that image. Maybe that's the reason why we all have this deep longing inside of us, even in our brokenness, even in our sinfulness. We all have this deep longing inside of us, this deep longing for connectedness, this deep longing for community, this deep longing for relationship. We all know that we are called to be in relationship with others. We are called to be in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. And yet, of course, we know that we often resist that. Our society, of course, tells us something different. Our society, to the extent that it speaks of God at all, our society tells us that to be like God is to be something different. To be like God is not to be in relationship. To be like God is not to be in communion. To be like God is to be independent. To be like God is to be isolated. To be like God is not to need anyone. To be like God, we are told, is to look out for yourself, to secure as much power and money and material goods that you can get. To be like God is to dominate and control others. That's what it means, our society says, to look like God and to be in God's image. This rampant individualism that seems to plague our society in so many ways. The American vision, of course, the American hero is the lone pioneer who goes out into the wilderness and doesn't need anybody, who gets by with his gun and his wits. The lone cowboy who rides into town and is able to overcome all the bad guys on his own. The lone hero who doesn't need anyone, who is able to survive and to figure things out and to be successful on his own. And yet we are reminded this morning that to be like God is to be like that community of overflowing love and connection and communion for one another. You know, one of my vices now is I've spent some, perhaps too much time on social media. I try to cut that back, you know. I spend a lot of time on social media. Not a lot of time, but I do spend some time, Facebook, TikTok, you know, Twitter, those kind of things. And I've noticed, you know, it's one way to, a good way to keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on. And one of the things I've discovered is, you know, the virtual war in our society, particularly between the sexes, men and women going to war with each other, men saying, you know, I don't need women, and women saying, I don't need men. We can get by without the other. Again, part of the rampant individualism that leads to so much of the loneliness and the brokenness of our society. Men blaming women and women blaming men, and it's the constant back and forth of who needs who. We don't need each other. Even though we know deep down inside we long for this deep connectedness, we long for this relationship, and yet even in the midst of this longing, we are told that we can't come together in so many ways. Maybe it's the reason why our divorce rate in our society is so high. The inability even to come together at some of the most basic levels, kind of the rampant individualism that has come to define our society. And yet this morning we are reminded that you and I are called to be in relationship. We were created to be in relationship. That's what we were created to look like a community of overflowing love. Now, scholars tell us that the Genesis creation story was probably written while the Jews were in Babylonian captivity in the 6th century BC. And it was written basically to counteract the creation myths of the Babylonians and the Mesopotamians. Those myths, creation myths, were steeped in violence. According to the Babylonian creation myth, the whole world and the whole cosmos was created out of the body of a murdered god. And we human beings, according to the myth, were also created from the blood of a murdered god. We human beings were created to be slaves to the gods. And even though many of our contemporaries, many of our neighbors, many of the people in our nation, in our world may never have heard of any of those creation myths, those Babylonian myths, those Mesopotamian myths like the Enuma Elish or any of those, even though we've never heard of it in our society, perhaps our society lives out of the logic of those myths. The violence, the exploitation, the sense to dominate and control others. But we're reminded this morning that the Bible tells us a different story. The Bible tells us that before any of the violence and the brokenness, that there was only good. The Bible tells us that God is a good God who created a good world, who created a good earth, who created a good cosmos, and created that cosmos out of overflowing love. God created the world out of overflowing love. God, the Holy Spirit, that we are told hovered over the chaos waters before the creation, before the act of creation itself, the Holy Spirit hovering over the chaos waters. God who speaks God's word and things happen. God who speaks God's word and things come into existence. God's word that holds all things together. God's word through which everything was created. God's word that becomes flesh and dwells among us. God's word that redeems. And you and I were created in the image of that God. A God of self-giving, overflowing love. There's a Greek word I did learn in seminary many years ago. The word is a parakeresis, and it means a dance, a circle, a dance. And sometimes that's what the Trinity is likened to, a dance between the divine persons. Often when I thought of the Trinity, I thought of it like a triangle with God at the tip of the triangle, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit at the other points of the triangle. But actually, the Trinity is more like a circle, a dance, a parakeresis, a dance of love, a community of love between the divine persons. And you and I are invited to become a part of that dance. You and I are invited to become a part of that community of love, because that's what we were made for. That's what we were created for. That's part of the goodness that we were created for. That's part of the goodness that we are called to be. We're called to be the people who are invited into the God's own life, and to be a part of not only God's own life, but to show our own overflowing love for each other, our own overflowing love for our neighbors, our own overflowing love for God's good creation. That's what it means to be human. That's what it means to be a human being. That's what it means to be people who are made in the image of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have reminded us that you have created this world good, as you created all of us good. You have created us human beings to be just a little lower than yourselves. And I know that sounds fantastic for many of us, but that is what you have created us to be. People who radiate with your love, with your grace. People who shine forth your loving presence in the midst of the world. Lord, help us in our own lives to reflect the life of your own heart, the life of self-giving love for each other, the divine dance of love that you have called us to participate in. Help us to be your loving, gracious people who are like you in the way that we relate to our neighbors and to the world. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.